Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. This program is live on the air right now. We're here to discuss any personal issue or situation you may find yourself in and to answer your Bible questions. This is where the truth of Scripture meets your daily life. What's going on in your life at this time? We want to talk with you about it right now. The phone lines are open at 1-800-677-9377. Write down the number. Keep it handy. That's 1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call right now. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about freedom this particular month and the freedom that we all long for as believers in Christ and just as people. That's something that's deep within our hearts and so important for us. And I know in my life, one of the things that was so detrimental was my dependence upon the opinions of others. I really valued what people thought about me. That's what determined who I was, my self-image. And boy, it was a bondage. And it wasn't until, not really too many years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, where I was able to truly let go. And I think this grace of God was what enabled that to happen in my life so that I could truly experience freedom in Christ. And I know so many people out there are in bondage to the opinions of others. Their self-image is derived from what others think about them. And that's just not how God designed us to be, because other people's opinions just go up and down, up and down, up and down. And so we could just go on this huge roller coaster ride. I love what Paul wrote in Galatians, for I do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I think so many of us in our lives get caught up in bondage because we are trying to please men. We are trying to gain favor with men. But God has freedom for us if we'll just recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. Well, let's talk about that on today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you right now, 1-800-677-9377.
The U.S. and in Canada, we want to hear from you. That's why we're here live every day, friends. So go ahead and fill up those lines right now. Give us a call. In the meantime, a question, guys, from Kelly, who writes to us from Tampa, Florida, says, could you explain the difference, the context difference of Romans 2:13 as opposed to Romans 3:20, as they seem contradictory? One is declared righteous in 2:13 by obeying the law, and in 3:20, one is declared not righteous by the works of the law. What is the difference here?
Well, there really is no difference in that. The context is within this great argument that Paul is leading to, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the big issue that we all face. There is no one righteous, no, not one. And so the law is never going to justify anyone because we can't live up to it. So we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's the truth that we need to realize before we fully can understand this salvation that we have in Christ. We need to know that we need to be saved before we can be saved.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because, you know, if you could keep the law, well, then you could be declared righteous by keeping the law. But no one in the history of ever has kept the law, any law. I mean, the simplest law, the one that started it all, just leave that tree alone. We couldn't do that. And, we've been suffering the results ever since. I love this passage in Romans because he so carefully builds the case that any behavior-based approach to God is worthless. It's bankrupt. It's Jesus or nothing.
Well, Bob and Richard, thank you for that answer, and thanks to Kelly for writing. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, friends. It's a live broadcast, and we're looking for your calls. If you have something you'd like to discuss, something going on in your life, at home, at school, the office, on the freeway, wherever it happens to be, why, give us a call. We want to talk with you. 1-800-677-9377. from Michael in Indiana. In Colossians, Paul tells us to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. He also says that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. My question, for any activity in our life, how can we be sure we are presuming it to be independence on Christ instead of in the energy of our flesh? That's from Michael in Indiana.
Well, that's a good question, and I think it's important that we all try to figure out the difference between spirit and flesh. And, you know, once we do, I think it becomes very obvious when we're functioning out of the energy of the flesh and trying to do things to gratify the desires of the flesh, as opposed to walking in the Spirit and living out the desires of the Spirit. One of the things that the Bible tells us is that the world in which we live in today, the world philosophy, the world system, is anti-God, it's anti-Jesus Christ. So it's trying to move us away from faith in Christ Jesus. And then the Word of God is there to equip us how to trust Jesus Christ in daily living. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, so that we can be equipped on how to trust Jesus in any and every situation that we find ourselves in. So flesh is just, in a general statement, is going to be anything that puts self above others. Walking in the Spirit is going to be any action and attitude that is going to put others above self. And only Christ Jesus can free us in such a powerful way where we can actually think about others over and above what we think about ourselves and act in accordance to that attitude as well. So if you're struggling with that, just say, hey, is self in the center of this action? Is this all about me and what's going to be good for me? Or other people in the center of this action? I think that will help clarify that in a person's life.
Yeah. This is Basic Gospel, and we thank you for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. And again, the lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. We encourage your call right now if you have something you'd like to discuss. From Tim, can you speak concerning the fear of God? What does that mean in the context of the New Covenant? Is it really just awe and reverence? If so, why does the Greek seem to imply terror? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling and so forth. That's from Tim in Round Rock, Texas.
Well, that's a great question right there, and it's something I think we all want to deal with. Proverbs is very clear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom, and I think when that was written, it was really referring to this reverence, this awe. And I think just knowing who God is, he's an all-consuming fire. I mean, that is God. He is spirit. He spoke this world into existence. There's something being in his presence that just makes us tremble. But the fact that he sent Jesus to take away our sins removes the fear of punishment. And I think that's something that we all struggle with. Why are we afraid of God? It's not so much because we're afraid of who he is. We're afraid of the punishment he might bring into our lives. Most of us judge the situations that we're in either as a blessing from God or a punishment from God. So if things aren't going well, we always start to look at our lives and think, well, is this a punishment for this particular action I did over here? But when we come to Christ, when we recognize what Jesus did with his shed blood, that he took away our sins, and we rest in that truth, we see the fear of punishment being cast aside. We see that fear starting to diminish. But we always come to Christ with a reverent heart, in awe of who he is, in awe of the power that he contains, and the fact that we can actually tap into that through faith in Jesus Christ. So we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because we know it's God himself that is working that salvation into us. He is doing the work inside of us. And we simply let that out in our day-to-day lives. And so we do that knowing the source of what's happening inside of us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Bob. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. And, friends, we have a new product that we'd like to call your attention to. It's called Gateway to Grace, a six-message series complete with study guide that peels away all the phony, boring religious stuff that masquerades as Christianity. Gateway to Grace opens the door so that you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. And for a gift of any amount during Independence Month here at Basic Gospel, why, we will send you this excellent resource, which is rich in Bible content. All you need to do is call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828, our customer service line, for your copy of Gateway to Grace. Or you can go online to basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel, our six-message series, Gateway to Grace. Well, again, plenty of open lines, friends. Come on and be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. A question from Deborah, and she says, hello to you all. The Scripture tells us much about false teachers and preachers. Now, I don't accuse the pastor of our church of being false, she says, but it is clear that he's not prepared to stand before the congregation on most Sunday mornings. It is becoming difficult for me to sit under teaching like this. My question is, am I to be patient with the pastor and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work within him, or what? That's from Deborah in Temple Hills, Maryland.
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, my, yes. I actually experienced that kind of thing when I was younger. I was just a kid, but it was, even as a child, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, it was embarrassing to hear the pastor stand up and I literally say, well, I was wondering what I was going to preach about today while I was driving to church. And it sounded like it. I mean, that's just so embarrassing. And even, you know, when little kids are picking it up, then you know something is wrong. Of course, I didn't have any tools to deal with it at the time. But you know, as ministers, as teachers, we're called to have something to say. And if the Lord hasn't given us something to say, it's time to sit down and let somebody else do it. Don't get up and just mumble along and lead your people into confusion. We as members of churches should be patient, but we also have the right and responsibility to go to the pastor and say, is there something we can do to help you? Maybe you need to have some things offloaded so you have more time for preparation or whatever. You know, come alongside them and be supportive. But you can't treat the Word of God lightly and just kind of show up and wing it. This is God's Word and His message, and we're honor bound as teachers to let the Spirit speak through us based on the study we've done, the experiences we've had, and just walking by faith. There's no excuse for sloppiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And in that particular situation, Richard, you know, I think it would be important to know what the belief system is. You know, what,
yes.
You know, what does the church really believe? What does the pastor truly believe? And if there is a solid belief system in place, then I would go to the pastor and say, you know, we've got this great message. We've got this new life that we're encouraged to live and to share, you know, with each other as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And yet, when I hear you speak, you know, what you say doesn't match what we truly believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is there something that I can be praying for you about? Is there something that's going on in your life that we can talk about and share? Because you never know what's going on. There are so many pastors today who are walking away from what they say is their calling.
Mm-hmm.
They're burned out. They're you know, under so much pressure and bondage. And so I think first and foremost we need to see them as brothers in Christ and to deal with them accordingly, because there may be something that's really going on in their lives. And if the doctrine is good and strong, it's, you know, centered around the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and there's a gospel message being taught that folks can be made alive in Jesus, that it's more than forgiveness, it's new life, that we have this opportunity to experience freedom through this new covenant that we live in today. if all of those things are in place, you know, just kind of look underneath a little bit and see what's actually going on with the pastor, and pray for him and encourage and do all of those things to help out.
Yeah, this is one of those times where a parishioner can be such a huge help to a pastor. I know you and I have both experienced this. We will say something absolutely wrong up front and completely unaware of it, and then somebody kindly comes to you afterwards and said, "Did you really mean to say that?" And you know, that's not off-putting. You say, "Well, no, I didn't. I'm sorry." And you go back and you listen, and sure enough. You know, and you have to correct it. So, yeah, coming alongside of each other, building each other up, encouraging each other, that's what this is about. It's not about judgment.
Yeah, interesting question. Thanks for the great answer, guys. This is Basic Gospel, and friends, if you live in New York, listening in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Washington, D.C., that particular area, and Louisville, Kentucky, this program is for you. We're here every day live, and we would love to have your phone calls. We'd love to have you participate, and you can do so right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 800-677-9377. Still time on the clock. We'd like to hear from you. In the meantime, a question from Rich in Columbus, Ohio. So many of us pray to Jesus, "I believe Christ is the Son of God and the Word of God," yet the Scriptures tell us to pray to the Father through Jesus. Why do most of us pray to Jesus rather than the Father through Jesus? The obvious answer is that Jesus is God, but the Scripture indicates how to pray. Can you answer this?
Well, there's the Lord's Prayer, and certainly Jesus was giving a model. You know, this is not something that you're to pray over and over and over again, but here's a pattern for prayer, and certainly he started out our Heavenly Father. But now that we know Christ personally, and now that Christ has come to live inside of us, I think there's this running conversation that we as believers have with Jesus Christ himself. And when we're talking with Jesus Christ, we're talking with God the Father, Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're one. It's not that if we talk to Jesus, we're not talking to God the Father, or if we're talking to God the Father, we're not talking to Jesus Christ the Son. So we have to understand that. There are times in my life where I pray, and it's, "Heavenly Father, thank you so much." There are other times where it's, "Jesus, thank you that you took away my sin. Thank you that you were raised back to life so that I could have everlasting life." And so it's a personal conversation with him, so to speak. But the joy of it is there really are no rules for prayer. It's a privilege. It's something that God has opened up to each and every one of us that we can actually speak to him with confidence. Beforehand, most of us would have been scared to death to even say a word to God. But now, because of the blood of Christ Jesus, we have confidence to enter into that holy place, to hear from him, and also to be able to share our hearts with him as well. So take advantage of it. Don't worry about the rules. There are no rules to prayer. Just pray. Let your prayers be in direct relationship to what you're learning in the Word of God. And I think that that time will be so special and so significant in your life.
Yeah, I love how this question dovetails with the previous question about fear and trembling and terror. You know, sometimes we think that because of that judgment thing you talked about earlier, "Oh man, God's going to get me." Who wants to talk to a God like that? And especially who wants to be familiar? But when you realize what Jesus has done to restore our relationship with God and to give us eternal life and put his own Holy Spirit in us, the mind of Christ, no wonder we're now invited to just run into the throne room and crawl up on his lap and call him Daddy. You know, it's still the most awesome being ever. We can't even begin to fathom how awesome and powerful God is, and yet we are invited to have this really intimate, one-to-one, face-to-face relationship with him.
Absolutely. Well, let's go quickly to New York and listen to and talk with Gloria, listening on WMCA. Hi, Gloria. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, how are you? Thank God. I love your program, and sometimes I leave my radio on at night so I can listen to you. It's one of the best things that ever happened to WNCA. Anyway, I asked my pastor to listen. I was listening to something that sometimes the pastor will say things that it's not biblical. That, you know, if you try to say something like in Bible studies, the only thing he'll say is, I'm the pastor here. Well, you know, there are a few things that he said that, you know, I'm not happy with. Because, you know, I belong to a church that they baptize the babies. But then he tells the congregation that baptism now saves you from going to hell. Baptism saves you. And he will also say that only two, you can think of that only two people who know what's in your heart, Jesus and the devil. I think that is awful. The devil does not know what we're thinking, I know, until we open our mouths. You know, and say so he can forgive
you. You're spot on with that. Yeah, you are absolutely right. One, baptism, water baptism, has nothing to do with salvation. It is a celebration of what Jesus Christ has done. There is a spiritual baptism that we experience through faith in Jesus. We are placed into his death, and that's simply what the word baptism means. It's to be placed into. And so through faith in Christ, in response to that gospel message, we are placed into his death. We are placed into his burial, and we are raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what happens when we believe, and it's a spiritual baptism, a spiritual transaction. And we celebrate that with this marvelous picture of water baptism. But that has nothing to do with our salvation. As far as the other thing that you were talking about, you're exactly right. Satan does not know us personally. We are known by God. God knows us personally. Satan knows aspects of humanity. He knows that we can be tempted. He knows that we can be lured away. He doesn't know exactly the temptation that's going to lure each person away. So he has multiple temptations that he tosses out there, hoping something will catch our attention. So, no, he doesn't know us personally. Only Jesus Christ knows us personally. Only Jesus Christ knows us intimately. Only Jesus Christ knows the real needs of our hearts. And if we'll just open up our minds to him and our trust in him, we'll see those needs met in surprising ways, incredible ways, in ways that we never dreamed possible. But if your pastor is saying, hey, I'm the pastor, you have to listen to what I say simply because I'm the pastor, I think that's a red flag, a warning to you. The Word of God is the standard of truth. Anybody should be able to say to you with confidence, you go into the Word of God, you let that be the standard of truth, and if what I'm saying doesn't totally match up with that, disregard and come let me know about it. Come let me know how I'm kind of missing the boat on that. Well, I hope that helps, Gloria. We sure appreciate your call today.
We appreciate your call, and we appreciate your kind words, Gloria. We appreciate having the opportunity to broadcast into the New York area. Hope you'll keep listening and call again on a later broadcast if you have another question. That's why we're here every day, friends, to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just about time for us to go off the air, but as we go, everybody, I want to remind you once again that we have a wonderful resource that we want to share with you. It's called Gateway to Grace. Your support, of course, is what keeps Basic Gospel on the air, bringing liberating truth into the airwaves and online every day. And to express our appreciation for your generous gift this month and to commemorate Independence Day in America, we'll send you this new 6-CD series called Gateway to Grace, a new covenant journey to faith and freedom. If you're tired of phony and boring religion, if you're tired of looking for something different and real, if you're tired of going through the motions, well, you can experience freedom, and Gateway to Grace can point you in the right direction. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for any gift to Basic Gospel. Request yours online when you visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel.